It has been way too long. It has felt like months when realistically it's only been a week. But the cleanup crew is back and reunited, and it feels oh so good. But hello, all you BC WrestlePod nerds out there, and welcome back to another rendition of the Cleanup Crew Review, your weekly AEW Rampage review team. I am El Jefe around these parts, Mikey, and joined with me tonight, as always, is my co-host, who is back on the show after some time away. You know him, you love him, he fills in wherever is needed, but you can find him here and on the Collision Review. Adolfo, a.k.a. El Buntador, the second, is in the house. I've missed you so much.
Saludos, programas. Thank you, Mikey. I missed you, too. I've missed the reviews. We were down in Puerto Rico for a little family visit, but I am back, and I am ready. And please excuse the baby who is crying in the background.
I wouldn't have it any other way. It's been a few minutes with vacation, and then the rest of the BC WrestlePod boys, we all survived our first WrestleMania Hell Week. With the watch-alongs and the reviews, it was a great time to be had. But we are thankful that we could put WrestleMania behind us and get back to our regular scheduled programming. So that's what we're going to do tonight. We're going to go through Rampage. We're going to give our thoughts about what occurred on the show. And then we're going to give our final ratings and get up on out of here. So we're going to keep it short and too sweet. Not related to Bullet Club, but Jay White, if you want to make us honorary members of Bullet Club Gold, like we're not going to say no. Just say guns up. And we'll talk about you towards the end because you were in our main event tonight. But Rampage kicks off with a singles match. We have Orange Cassidy taking on Alex Reynolds of the Dark Order. And my first thought was, damn, I forgot Dark Order was still here. It's been way too long since we've seen them on my television screen.
My second thought was Alex Reynolds was actually more orange than Orange Cassidy.
That is absolutely true. Obviously, we were told that Orange Cassidy would be talking about what had transpired last week with Trent Barreto betraying the best friends. And of course, Adolfo wasn't here to witness the betrayal.
Betrayal.
I had to suffer that heartache on my own. It was sad. I had to eat a whole pint of ice cream to get over my feelings of it.
But now, betrayal happen on Rampage?
That betrayal happened on it happened on Dynamite.
Okay. I thought it would be apropos if they kept it that storyline just like on Rampage. So I'm kind of bummed to hear that it splashed out over onto Dynamite. But let's talk about the match, and then we'll get into that.
Yeah. So as far as this match, this was our typical face versus heel match. Alex Reynolds and Johnny Hungy himself, John Silver, were making fun of everything that happened with the breakup of Trent Barreto and best friends and Orange Cassidy by like doing the hug spot and whatnot. And for a while, Alex Reynolds was kind of getting most of the offense in this match. Was kind of cool to see. Yeah. And then, of course, Orange Cassidy hits second gear once they start fighting outside of the ring. Orange punch to Alex Reynolds. Orange punch to Johnny Hungy himself. Mm-hmm. And then I was like, okay, well, this is where we're going to end this match. And sure enough, Orange Cassidy picks up the victory here. Overall, I thought this was a pretty fun match.
Yeah, it was yet another solid Orange Cassidy starting the Rampage show off match. You know, this Dark Order, because we've seen Dark Order wrestle Orange Cassidy and the best friends before, or Orange Cassidy in whatever, you know, iteration he's in. So I found it very interesting how even though we have seen these matches before, it still felt like a fresh new match, you know, and Orange Cassidy kind of changing up how he's doing his shtick and all that, you know, it was good. And I feel that it speaks to both wrestlers how well they are for the type of work that they did. The Dark Order, your consummate heels doing their heel thing, where even though Orange Cassidy is supposed to be fighting Alex Reynolds, he's really in a 2-on-1 against Johnny Hungy and Alex Reynolds. But yeah, the match was really good. I was really happy to see Alex Reynolds be able to get some offense in there. And he seemed to have control for a good bit of the match. So, and then it was good to see, as you said, Orange Cassidy, you know, drop it into lower gear and at the end, you know, really kick it off there, which does bring us to the big standoff between, you know, Orange Cassidy's in the middle of the ring. Well, Renee Paquette, she jumps in and she asks Orange Cassidy about the breakup. And then you have Trent Beretta come down the ramp. And then you had, oh, what's his face?
You had Mr. Chucky T himself, Chuck
yeah,
Taylor.
Chuck Taylor come from behind Orange Cassidy. Almost made you feel like he was going to jump Orange Cassidy, but then goes in front of Orange Cassidy to intercede himself between Trent and Orange Cassidy. So it's going to be interesting to see how this plays out. It's going to be interesting to see, you know, where allegiances are going to be and all that. I found it very interesting that Trent Beretta, he came out and the shirt that he was wearing did say best friends, you know, with Orange Cassidy and all that. So, but yeah, it was a very good first match.
It was a fantastic opener. I mean, we knew that Orange wasn't going to be able to say anything because, as you mentioned, we had that standoff between him and Trent. Chucky T comes in. I wouldn't be surprised if we got something on Zero Hour between all this, or if we wanted to drag this out to Double or Nothing. I would be cool with that as well, because it seems that Dynasty is being touted as almost all the championships are pretty much on the line at this point.
Yep, we have one set of belts that has not been announced yet.
No, and so that is the one we're waiting on, and I would not be surprised if next week within the show of Dynamite and the doubleheader on Saturday for Collision and Rampage is like,
yeah, I'm not sure gonna
talk about that. We're going to talk about that tomorrow on Collision. That's going to be fun.
Uh-huh.
But this was our opener. I thought it was fun. So this is probably my favorite backstage segment because Anna Jay has been me the last couple of days. Course of watching the cinematic universe of AEW wrestling, because Alex Marvez is backstage with Anna Jay, and you know, Alex Marvez asks Anna Jay a very simple question. She's been on a winning streak, but she seems to be frustrated. What can you tell us about what's been going on? And Anna Jay has had enough of all the shenanigans that has been going on. And she's just like, it seems everyone is not caring about wrestling anymore, and everyone is just making out. Tony Storm and Mariah May made out a couple of weeks ago. And then, you know, that's still a thing. And then we had Mariah May and her Club Venus partner make out like on Supercard of Honor. And this past, like on Dynamite on live television. Adolfo, I know there's a lot to catch you up on, but just to give you the short version of it, Anna Jay was me in this whole moment. I was just like, it was funny at first. And now it's kind of overstaying its welcome. And to preface, it's not because, like, I don't like seeing women kiss. That's not my issue. It's just that now where I was like, this is giving me shades of old school women's wrestling. And I kind of don't like it because now we're kind of turning them into a joke.
Yeah, you know, so I didn't. I saw the Anna Jay spot. And I saw what she was talking about. I have not seen the, like, the kissing and all that.
Thank goodness you haven't.
If my personal feeling on it is if it's being done under the direction of a male producer and, you know, it's not really, all parties are not consenting to it, then I have issues. But, and then going off of some words that I heard Tony Storm say about it, and like, you know, not to spoil anything, but in Collision, seeing how Tony Storm and Mariah May were acting, if it's women taking it, you know, taking that power back, then I'm cool with it. You know, I can definitely see where it overstayed its welcome. I mean, but yeah, if it's the women backstage saying, you know what, we're not ashamed of our sexuality, we're not ashamed of any of this, and we have an opportunity to make it part of this, then I'm okay with it. you know?
I hope that's the case too, because if that's so, then I'm more okay with it. But I'm just like, I smell a male producer on this thing, and I want to be wrong. I hope it's wrong, but you know, we'll never know. But as Anna Jay is kind of venting her frustration, we have Azumi from Stardom come in and agree with Anna Jay, and she probably had my favorite line this whole time. She's like, Mariah, stupid. Mia, stupid. But big stupid, Toni Storm. And so on Saturday, I will take her out and show her how stupid she really is. And I'm like, yo, I'm kind of here for this tag team now between these two.
Right? Right? That would be a good mix, too. Because it would be speed power thing.
It would be fantastic.
Speaking of speed power.
Oh, my gosh. So, all right. So I really wanted to like this match, and it was starting to head this way. But, okay, before we get to the ending, this was a TBS championship match. This was an open house rules match in which Brody King would be, you know, banned from ringside.
Yep.
And this is where we had Julia Hart defending the TBS championship against legit Layla Hirsch. So nice to see Layla on AEW television, killing it in Ring of Honor. She's one of the staples down there. And it was really fun that she got to have a chance to fight Julia in this match. I really, really wanted to like this match, but I can't give it any more points because we got 6 minutes of wrestling, maybe seven, and then the finisher came out of nowhere all of a sudden. And as I was watching the finishing sequence, either Julia got hurt, their heads collided in some capacity, but
yeah,
they called an audible and ended that match quickly. I'm like, oh no. And even after the match, Julia was not looking great. She was wincing in pain as much as she was trying to hide it. I was like, oh no.
That's what we're assuming. That's what we're assuming, because that's the way that it looked. Yeah, the match was going great, I thought. I was really impressed. Julia looks like she's integrated a few new rope maneuvers into her toolbox. Layla Hirsch was getting some good coverage and some good offense in there. But yeah, I even have it in my notes, audible, because it did look like in one spot that their heads collided, because Layla kept like going like this, you know? So I don't know if she maybe like the front of her face hit like Julia's head, so like Julia got her head wrong, and then Layla like, you know, maybe like broke her nose or something like that. But yeah, it was a very, very odd ending. Seemed like an audible was called, which was a bummer. You know, I personally am not gonna hold that against them, because you know, it was an accident. You know, they tried to do a spot and it botched, and you know, it happens, you know? So I will still hold that this match to its meat and potatoes, and those meat and potatoes were pretty good. So
I hope so too. But for what we got, I agree with you that Julia continues to impress me by how much she's improved. I am a big fan of Layla, and you know, for a short stature as she is a powerhouse, and I love to watch it. And so, you know, despite the audible, maybe potentially, I did like what we got. Speaking of powerhouses, backstage, we go with the Don Callis family.
But really quick, Mikey, you know, Julia Hart and Layla and legit Layla Hirsch, they're going to be at the Wrestle Show New Jersey Wrestling Convention in Middletown, New Jersey, May 18th and 19th. And guess who else are going to be there?
We are. Yes. So welcome to the advertisement break. Hi. If you stuck all the way through so far, you get to hear this lovely spiel. But as my co-host said, the East Coast Collective, as we have called them, so Adolfo, JVL, and Jesse, and myself, the lone West Coast boy, the four of us are going to be at the New Jersey Wrestling Show Saturday, May 18th and Sunday, May 19th. We have our own table. I'm super excited. I'm really excited. This is my first wrestling convention. It's my first time going to a wrestling convention. And this will also be my first time being a vendor with the table at a said wrestling convention. So I get to pop that cherry twice in one weekend. So that is going to be fantastic. go easy on me. Anyways, but I'm super excited. I get to hang out with some of the boys live and in person because only one other host has had that honor of being able to hang out with me in person. So I can't wait to do that in a couple of weeks. But if you are going to the New Jersey Wrestling Show, stop by, say hi, come buy some merch, have a conversation with us. We would love to get, you know, meet you guys and to talk with you guys because we're all wrestling nerds and we want to meet other wrestling nerds out in the world outside of our collective internet land. So please stop by. It's going to be a good time. And now back to our regular scheduled programming.
So the Don Callis family, we had a spot where Don Callis had out Kyle Fletcher and Powerhouse Hobbs, and Don Callis wants to protect his golden goose, the golden goose, which is Will Ospreay. So he gave instructions for Kyle Fletcher and Powerhouse Hobbs to go on Collision and to break Claudio Castagnoli and, more importantly, Bryan Danielson, who will be meeting the golden goose, Will Ospreay, at Dynasty. And the only takeaway I had about this spot was that Kyle Fletcher could not hold a straight face. I don't know what it was that Don Callis did, but he just could not stop laughing.
Yeah, I'm just like, Kyle Fletcher is me this whole entire time. I was like, the turn is going to be fantastic. And the inevitability, when Mark Davis gets cleared to come back, you know him, Kyle, and Will are going to reunite. And we have a miniature version of United Empire and AEW, which would be fantastic. But this sets up the Collision match that is going to be happening. Stay tuned for that review because we're going to talk about that with another co-host of ours. All the Puerto Rican boys are going to give their take on that. So it's going to be fantastic. All right, I got to mentally prepare myself because we finally got the match that we have been waiting for. And Adolfo was pleasantly surprised when I told him that this match has yet to happen, so he didn't miss it. So we finally get Cool Hand Ange, Angelo Parker, taking on Zack Knight in the Days of Our Lives, Degrassi, Beverly Hills 90210, Dawson's Creek of AEW Rampage. And to be completely honest, Angelo Parker got his butt handed to him pretty much the whole match. But I didn't mind it because it makes sense in the context of where we're at in the story. Zack Knight had Harley Cameron and Saraya on his side, but Angelo Parker, Ruby Soho was nowhere to be found. Nope. But it made sense because I'm going to fill in Adolfo for those of you who don't watch Rampage. Let me give you the updated version. So we were supposed to get this match a couple weeks ago when AEW was doing the Canada tour. Zack Knight would deny Angelo Parker a match in his home country. And so then Angelo kind of went on a rampage. He was attacking Zack Knight. He threatened to hit him with a lead pipe. Ruby, as much as she tried, was trying to continue to tell Angelo to not to go after Zack Knight, and he wouldn't listen. And in a confrontation that almost got Zack Knight a lead pipe to the head, Ruby Soho told Angelo Parker that she cannot be here because he's not listening to her, and she cannot bear to witness him because he's not listening to her. And so she left Angelo Parker by himself. And this is the culmination of when your woman is not there to support you because Angelo Parker got his butt handed to him. But I thoroughly enjoyed this match as much as I could say and all that.
So two things. First off, when Zack Knight came in, I don't know if you noticed, but they did put up the Outcasts graphic for when he came in. So is this now the new Outcast stable where it's Saraya, Harley Cameron, and Zack Knight?
Very I'm kind of here for that, which means right? I was like, we need to add one more person to Angelo Parker and Ruby Soho too.
Right? The whole match, it just felt like a depressing aria should have been playing in the background as Angelo Parker just, you know, kept getting just slobber knockered around the mat. He did get a few good shots in. Not going to say that he didn't, but yeah, it was, dare I say, a Shakespearean fall, which I really wanted Ruby Soho to like pop up you know, at first I was like, I wanted her to pop up like halfway through the match. So then Angelo Parker could have that Rocky moment, you know, but then when Cool Hand Inge got pinned, then I was really hoping for Ruby Soho to like come out of the audience or something like that. And like, you know, hold him or, you know, something like that. And it didn't happen. And after it was done, I sat and thought about it and I was like, all right, you know what? I feel that this is more powerful, you know? So now, like, if Ruby and Cool Hand find their way back to each other, which I hope they do, like, it's going to make it that much more, that much more fantastic. Because if y'all can't tell, I'm here for this Dawson's Creek storyline. I don't care what you say. It's goofy wrestling for life, baby. It's just like, this is fantastic. You know, this is showing that you can have actual storylines with emotional beats in your wrestling, that it doesn't all have to be testosterone filled, going for a belt or going, you know, for revenge or this, that, and the other. You know, like this, I'm here for it. Here for it. Please don't let this be the end. I feel like we're like, we just got to that culmination chapter in the book, you know? And I just, yeah. So that's it.
No, me and Adolfo are very lucky because we're the only two that gets to experience the story full hand. And the boys are really messing out on goofy wrestling. But I hope that, I agree with you. I hope this is not the end of that we're going to see of this. I would love for Ruby to come in and then there'd be a mixed tag with, you know, maybe Saraya and Zach versus Ruby and Angelo. And then honestly, I would be cool if we turned it into a 6-person tag at some point. And I would love to see who Ruby and Angelo get to join them to kind of take on the Outcast 2.0. I love the storyline. I loved what we saw. Just from entertainment and story purposes, this beatdown was probably my favorite match of the night, only because of how invested I have been in this weird Shakespearean story. All I need is a slow, like, I just need a slow-mo of all them riding in the car, just like the Leonardo DiCaprio with Romeo and Juliet scene happening.
Right? Yeah, exactly.
And the award goes to.
And the award goes to. So then we got a Rocky Romero, Kyle O'Reilly spot where Renee Paquette was talking to. No, it wasn't Renee. Was it Renee or was it?
No, it was Renee.
It was Renee. Okay. So Renee was talking to Rocky Romero, asking him about, you know, how he wants to go for the Intercontinental title, to which, you know, Kyle O'Reilly came out and said that he wanted to go for the Intercontinental belt as well.
International.
International, yeah.
There's too many IC titles.
I know, right? But Kyle O'Reilly and Rocky Romero, they actually like shook hands and were like cool with each other. And then Rocky Romero walks off and Kyle O'Reilly's left there. And then you have the Undisputed Kingdom and Roddy Strong come out with his Kyle, you know, and confronts Kyle O'Reilly, which sets up what happened on Collision. But, you know, it was, as far as spots go, I was fine with this spot. I actually, it filled in a lot of gaps for me, you know, not having watched wrestling in 2 weeks because I was away, but also B with Kyle O'Reilly and, you know, and his comeback. And, you know, I felt like it was a good character introduction for him, or further character introduction. And it felt like we're building something, which is fantastic.
It is. I'm really happy to see Kyle O'Reilly back. And since he's been back for the last month or so, you know, learning that he's been out for the last 2 years with a horrible injury, and also knowing the personal battles that he has to fight as someone who has diabetes as well. And it is a testament to how much he loves this business. And I'm excited to see more of Kyle O'Reilly. which then leads us to our main event for the evening and just a random singles match, which was fantastic to watch. We had Guns Up, leader of Bullet Club Gold, Jay White, taking on Matt Sydal, of all people. This is what I needed to see from Jay since we brought him over here, because we've talked about this for the longest time, Adolfo, not just here on Rampage, but across all the pay-per-views and the other AEW shows that we cover. I feel that since Jay White has been signed, we had no clue how we were going to deal with him. And for me personally, this is a step in the right direction. Just let Jay White have matches against people, show why he is one of the great wrestlers right now in this current crop of talent. Because I really enjoyed this match, and I was like, this is the Jay White from New Japan that I remember.
Yeah, totally. I really enjoyed this match. I was really happy to see Jay White actually wrestling. You know, he's a great wrestler. You know, one of the things that shows that he's such a great wrestler is you can put him as a singles, you can put him as a tag, you can put him as a triple, and he's still consistent and he's still good wherever he's at. You know, not shortcoming Matt Sydal. Again, this was a fantastic match that did showcase Matt Sydal's abilities. He didn't seem as in the air as he has been in other matches, but I feel that was because he's such a good ring tactician, and so is Jay White, that, you know, Jay White neutralized Matt Sydal's air attack, and Matt Sydal did enough to neutralize Jay White's technical attack. And yeah, it was good. It was a really good match. I definitely what I want to see from Jay White, and I'm ready for the Bullet Club Gold to go after the Undisputed Kingdom. I mean, let's get it done.
Yeah. Obviously, we got to figure out how we need to finish the chapter between Bullet Club Gold and the Acclaimed and Billy Gunn first, but I would love to see them start going after. That's what I wanted from this whole thing. I wanted Bullet Club Gold to go after the Undisputed Kingdom, because Jay White still hasn't gotten his hands on Adam Cole and the rest of them for attacking him when we started the whole Devil storyline like towards the second half of last year. But this was a really fun match, and this will not be the last time we see Matt Sydal, because we will be covering his match that he had on Collision as well. But that's for another review. We have reached the end of the Rampage review, so before we get up on out of here, let's give our final ratings for this Rampage. I'm going to go first. I'm going to give this Rampage a solid 7 out of 10 empanadas for me. Again, Rampage consistently has me enjoying wrestling. It's a lot of fun. This week, some of the stuff was stronger than others, but I still enjoyed myself. And more importantly, I'm just happy that I got to review it again, Adolfo, here, because it's been a hot minute, but I give it a 7 out of 10. It was a solid show, and I enjoyed myself watching it.
Yeah, ditto. 7 out of 10 empanadas. It was, again, a solid show. The matches were entertaining. The spots were short enough, and any excess nonsense that happened earlier in the week in AEW, that stuff was not dwelled on. You know, they just, the stuff that they were focusing on was Dynasty and the here and now and Collision. So it was good. It was really good. Another solid showing of Rampage. And that's all I got.
Yes. But we have reached the end of this week's Cleanup Crew review. Stay tuned later in the week, because me and Adolfo need to figure out how we're going to be covering Rampage next week, because it is not on Friday next week. It is another 3-hour block with Collision and Rampage on a Saturday. Me and Adolfo got to talk about that, because there's big pay-per-view weekend coming up next weekend for some of us, and for a lot of us who are going to be watching AEW Dynasty too. So
yeah, this might be my WrestleMania weekend, I feel.
Adolfo's going to make it up because he was enjoying vacation life and the rest of us were dying. So Adolfo's going to tag in and he's going to die for us. No, just kidding. It is fantastic. But thank you so much for tuning into this Cleanup Crew review. You can check out all the other stuff that we have here on the YouTube channel. You can check us out on the social medias at BC WrestlePod. We have audio cast versions of everything, so check us out there as well. And last and certainly not least, as we said during our ad break, come check us out at the New Jersey Wrestle Show Saturday, May 18th and May 19th. Please, we would love to come hang out with you guys and talk with everyone. It would be a fantastic time. Me and Adolph are going to get up on out of here because we're going to catch up for a little bit. Then we're also going to try to get some sleep because we got another exciting day of wrestling to cover tomorrow. But until then, remember, from us here at the Cleanup Crew and the rest of BC WrestlePod, take care of yourself, love one another, stay Biconic, and you, more importantly, you deserve to finish your story. We'll catch you on the flip side for the next review. But until then, ta-ta for now.
Billy Stark's outro.
Thank you so much for tuning in to another Vibe Tribe production. What's going to happen next time? Well, you're going to have to tune in to find out. But until then, remember, take care of yourself, love one another, and as always, make sure that you keep the good times rolling. Thank you for being here, and we'll see you next time.